Jazz Jambalaya on the Fishbowl Radio Network. That's George Duke going back to his 1978 album, Don't Let Go, and Dookie Stick, one of his more popular tunes. And George, you were making these funk records like Reach Forward and Dookie Stick and, of course, Follow Rainbow, which had Pluck and all this dance funk with Master of the Game and I Want You for Myself. Then 1980 came, and you came out with a Brazilian Love Affair, and everybody was going, whoa.
Well, I had to change up, you know, and I, you know, because I've loved Brazilian music for a long time. First time I went to Brazil was with Cannonball, with the quintet.
Right.
And I said, one day I'm going to go back there and do an album, because I met the people. I met Milton Nascimento and some other people down there, and I said, man, I would really love to record with these guys. So Epic Records, I went to them and said, I'd like to make a record in Brazil. I want to actually go to Brazil, take my band, and make a hybrid record, you know, with my band members and Brazilian musicians, and see what comes out, you know, see what kind of baby comes out. And so I went down there. They allowed me to do it because I Reached for it, and Dookie Stick were hit records. They said, oh, give the kid some money and let him go. So they let us go down there, and that record has become one of the most beloved albums that I've ever made, and one of my favorite albums, and I intend to do another one, you know, before I check out.
I hear you. As far as we're concerned here, it's one of the greatest jazz albums ever made, and that's just in my opinion too. Hey, that's a tremendous record.
The labor of love.
Yeah. Wow. Now, Brazilian Love Affair was followed by something you did with Stanley Clark. And you guys actually hit the top 40, which, by the way, I want to emphasize to all our listeners out there, this is not an easy thing to do. A lot of jazz musicians get labeled as sellouts or you know, going commercial, whatever they want to call it. But hitting top 40 is not easy to do with any kind of music. You guys did it. Sweet Baby, tell us about that.
Well, that's a long story behind that. Not too many people knew it, but I had gone through a little tizzy with my significant other, and I decided to write her a song, which I did, and played it for Stanley Clark just before we started to work on our first album. And I had a little Fender Rose in my room, and I said, Stanley, he was in the room next to me. I said, come here, man, I want to play something for you, you know, before we go in the studio. And I said, it's a very different kind of song, not something people would expect us to do. I said, but I'm kind of feeling this because it's, you know, it's personal. And so he said, play it. And I played it. He said, man, I love it. Let's record it. We went in the studio the next day, recorded it, and became the biggest record, you know, either one of us has ever had across the board. But we had to force the record company into releasing it.
Wow.
Because they said, you guys are jazz artists. This is a pop record. I said, okay, you know. And so we wound up putting our own money into it to you know, launch it because we believed in it. And eventually, Epic kicked in and brought it home.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, life after you hit the top 40, you started producing. I saw this. I was like, okay, they're jazz. And then all of a sudden, Jeffrey Osborne comes out with On the Wings of Love. He just left LTD. I hear it on the radio, and I'm saying, okay, yeah, okay, cool. Jeffrey Osborne's gone solo. But then I look on the back. Produced by George Duke. And I'm like, whoa!
Well, Jeff and I became friends because I used to tour with LTD with my band. They were kicking my butt every night. You know, doing, you know, Back in Love Again, all that, you know, Love Ballad and all that. And all we had was Reach For It and Dookie Shit. You know, so Jeff and I became friends, and he said he wanted me to produce his album, and that's what we did. And we had the same issue that I had with Sweet Baby. They almost had to force A&M to release those songs, you know, and those kind of more poppy kind of songs. They just didn't see black artists doing that kind of music, which is kind of well, anyway.
Yeah.
That's what it was. But and I have a new album I just produced for Jeffrey, which just came out, you know. So make sure and check that out.
Oh.
It's a Sanders record, though.
Okay.
Just to let you know. But it's incredible. He sounds like he belongs there. But back in the day, get back to what you were talking about. Back in the day, yeah, I did three albums with Jeffrey, and would Stay With Me Tonight and so forth and so on. And I began producing a whole lot of people, not just Jeffrey, but jazz artists as well.
Oh, wow, that's great. And Denise Williams, you had a lot to do with Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Yeah, I hated that song. I hate that song, but it bought me a car.
What'd you say, like?
it was a big record. Denise really wanted to do it. We got a call from CBS to come look at this, not look at the movie, but check this song out, which is be part of this movie called Footloose. And I drove Denise over there, and the guy played it for us, Tom Snow, that wrote it, and Dean Pitchford, and so they played it, and I was like, on the way back, I said, I know you don't want to do this. And she says, yeah, you do it. And she says, not only do I want to do it, but you're going to produce it. I said, Denise, come on. She said, she wanted to do it. So we did it, and I apologized after I turned it in, thinking that it was the worst piece of music I'd ever done in my life. And it sold a lot of records.
Wow, yeah. Multi-platinum. I mean, what, 3 million copies?
Yeah, the latest count I had was around 14 million.
Oh, okay. I'm way off then.
Oh, yeah, it was way down. Yeah, I got 13 million on my wall, and it's more than that now.
Wow, that is amazing. George Duke, ladies and gentlemen, here with us on Jazz Jambalaya. Now, in producing, I know that you also produce jazz acts like Hiroshima and Hiroshima, as some people call it. And getting back to jazz, this is about the time the smooth jazz format was about to become prevalent. Did you find more work there still in the producing field, or less work, or did you want to concentrate on doing more things on your own?
Well, that was a blessing and a curse in many ways. I think when the Quiet Storm format came in, a lot of us, like David Sanborn, myself, Stanley Clark, Patrice Rush, and whoever, we kind of thought that would be a format for us that we could fit in very well, and it would allow us to enter local markets and play and have some support in the areas. But once it turned into the smooth jazz thing, we kind of got taken out of it. There was a whole group of other artists that came in that didn't have the same background that we had. Right. Because we came, there was a lot of depth of what we did, working with a lot of the straight-ahead jazz artists, et cetera, et cetera. But these guys that came in after us did not have that experience, most of them.
Right.
And so the music was different, and it was a little more, excuse my vernacular, vanilla.
Right.
If you know what I mean. Right. It didn't have that kind of church experience, so to speak, at least on a real level, that was ingrained, that African connection,
right?
If I can be so
that
bold.
That soul,
yeah, that soul in the bowl. There was some soul missing out of the bowl.
Yeah, right.
And so it was kind of a blessing and a curse, because in many ways, then all of a sudden, more recently, the smooth jazz cruises began to happen, and that kind of took the place of a lot of the clubs. So it really, and they kept us alive, and it really helped us, but in many ways, it hurt us.
Yeah. George Duke, ladies and gentlemen, our guest here on Jazz Jambalaya, and you're working on a new album right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us just a little bit about it.
It's called Dreamweaver, and I got some of my favorite artists on it. Personally, I think it's one of the best records I've ever made. It'll be out hopefully sometime in June, July at the latest. And I've got people like Christian McBride playing on it. I've got songs with Jeffrey Osborne and Layla Hathaway and B.B. Winans on it. A young singer named Terry Dexter, who's a monster, singing on it. And, of course, I'm doing my thing on it. Sally Clark's playing with me on a track. Mm. And I have a very special thing I'm going to release as a bonus track. That's one of the last recordings that Tina Marie made that I produced. We were beginning to work on a jazz record, and
really?
this was one of the first songs she cut for that record before she died. And I thought it was so good, I went to the estate and said, since this is not going to come out now, it's only one track, I want to put this out on my record. And they allowed me to do that.
Wow, well, we would definitely be looking out for that one. Oh, wow. George Duke, Dreamweaver, ladies and gentlemen, that's coming up. George, we want to thank you so much for coming on and spending time with us and sharing your stories. And one of the things that we always get our guests to do is give a little drop here, like a hi, this is George Duke. and you're listening to Jazz Jambalaya on the Fishbowl Radio Network. Can you do that for us?
Sure, I can.
Oh, okay then. On three. One, two, three.
Hey, this is George Duke, and you're listening to Jazz Jambalaya Radio on the Fishbowl Radio Network. I'm getting hungry.
Hey, go eat you some fish, man. George, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to be looking for Dreamweaver coming out soon. When is the projected time frame?
Around June.
Around June. All right. We'll be on the lookout for that. We will be playing it right here. George, have a wonderful day. Take care and God bless, man.
All right. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wow. Can you, oh, goodness. I'm ecstatic. And it's about time for us to wrap up here. And we want to thank you for joining us and coming on board. Be with us next Saturday. Angela Bofill, oh yes, I try. We could spend a whole day talking about just that one song, but we're going to talk about that and some other things. So be here next week, next Saturday. Angela Bofill will be our guest. Until then, take care. God bless. We'll see you on the rebound. Oh, enjoy the Super Bowl. Whoever you're rooting for, I hope they win. Go Ravens. Take care, y'all. Bye.